Grab your Bibles this morning and turn to Joshua chapter 1 as we continue looking at the topic, the Lord is with us. Last week we saw the story in Deuteronomy where God is with us in the wilderness. And so today we're going to see a transition that has taken place and how Moses has went on to be with the Lord and a new leader is raised up, and we're going to see how God is with the people as they go into the promised land. And so as we think about that, it can be scary when someone takes leadership among God's people, when somebody new becomes a leader. It can be a little scary. This could be a new Sunday school teacher. It could be one of our new ministry directors or even a new pastor. We wonder what they will be like. How will they lead? What will they think of me? Will they like me? Will it be easy to get along with? Students feel this every year as they return to school to meet their new teacher. What if this teacher doesn't like me? What if I'm not able to learn under them? The people of Israel probably had some concerns when Moses died. They have been under the leadership of Moses for 40 years. It was under the leadership of Moses that they came out of Egypt after 400 years of slavery. It was under Moses that the Red Sea split and the Egyptians were destroyed. It was under Moses that the tabernacle was built and the Ark of the Covenant, which demonstrates the presence of God. It was under Moses that the Ten Commandments were given. It was under Moses that the first five books of the Old Testament, the Pentateuch or the Law, was given to the people. And so now, Moses has died. What will our new leader be like? In a few weeks, 1st of September, new positions take effect in the church. And there are some new leaders in different positions. We can have confidence in these leaders as long as the new leaders walk in the footsteps of the Lord. If they are seeking to follow after God, we have no reason to fear any new leader. The man who would follow after Moses would follow after God, and he would lead the people into the promised land in a mighty way. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your incredible love, your wonderful grace and mercy. We thank you for this beautiful text that you give to us. We thank you for how you called Joshua to step up and lead the people after the death of Moses. Lord, I pray that I would sit down and that you would stand up, and I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would take over in this place today and that you would move like never before. Lord, we thank you. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Fred, I think your little allergy thing got me a little bit, but I don't want your medicine. The first thing that we see in the text, we're going to look at three different things in the text this morning. The first thing that we're going to see is we see a new leader. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to you. I'm giving this to all the children of Israel. And I love this, verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. And so a new leader comes to power. And the first thing that we need to see, and sadly, this is where we get messed up in so many churches. We need to understand that Joshua was called to lead the people, not hired.
The people did not hire him to lead them. He was called by God.
This is the way that it should be with a pastor. We need to remember that the people didn't hire them. Sadly, there are some people in the church that think, well, I have more money, so I get to control what the preacher does more. There are some people that believe that because they give more in the church, they should have more say in the church. And if you upset the wrong person at the wrong time in the wrong way, they'll send you packing. Your pastor is not hired, he's called by God. He is called by God to a specific people. I believe that God calls a pastor to a church and the church to the pastor. I believe that God orchestrates it together and makes it a beautiful and powerful union. As Moses passed away, God called and chose Joshua to take over. In Numbers 27, we read, Moses said to the Lord, "May the Lord, the God who gives breath to all living things, appoint someone over this community to go out and come in before them, one who will lead them and bring them in, so the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd." So the Lord said to Moses, "Take Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the spirit of leadership, and lay your hand on him. Have him stand before Eleazar the priest and the entire assembly and commission him in the present, in their presence. Give him some of your authority so the whole Israelite community will obey him." Okay, wait a minute. Did God say that the whole Israelite community was to obey the leader he put in charge? Yes. Yes. Give him some of your authority so the whole Israelite community will obey him. Joshua was in charge, and what Joshua said went, period. He was called by God to lead the people of God, and as long as he followed the Spirit of Holy God, his leadership was not to be questioned. And when it did, the people heard. But that's the key, and we'll see as we get into it. The people did not hire him to lead them into the promised land. God chose him to serve these people. Here's the other thing about Joshua. Joshua had a good reputation. He had been with Moses and learned from Moses. At this point in time, who better to learn from than Moses? Moses was an incredible man of God. More is said about Moses than most people. When you read the Bible and how the Bible talks about Moses, you can't say Moses was overrated, because then you say the Bible's wrong. Because the Bible holds him up. He was an incredible leader. Did he have faults? Absolutely. Did he get it wrong sometimes? Yeah. But when he got it wrong, he was held accountable. Joshua had a good reputation. He trusted God and encouraged the people. We know that when Moses sends out 12 spies to go into the promised land, 10 come back with a bad report. Those 10 who come back with a bad report say, "We can't do this, they're too big, they're too strong, we're too weak, we can't do this." Joshua says, along with Caleb, "Doesn't matter if we can do it, because God can. Doesn't matter what we think, because God can do it, let's do it." But the 10 won out. But even so, we see Joshua standing for God. We also see that Joshua guarded the tent where Moses went in to meet with the Lord. When Moses would come from the tent, Joshua would stay there and guard the tent. Even though Joshua had a great reputation, can you imagine being the leader that followed in the footsteps of Moses? Can you imagine the pressure that must be there? Talk about big shoes to fill. God places Joshua as the leader and tells him to go into the land with the people. Here's something interesting we need to see. The people were not taking the land. It was given to them by God. But at the same time, they had to go in and do something and take it. The second thing that we see in this first section is we see that Joshua was hired, not called. Next thing we see is the need to move forward. Moses is gone. Joshua is taking over. The old regime is gone. The old leader is gone. Joshua is now in charge, and that is who the people needed to follow. The time was now for the people to move forward, to move from the past of the wilderness and into the promised land. I think this is excellent advice for the church today as well. We need to get over the past. We need to get out of the past. We need to stop comparing leaders to past leaders. We need to keep saying, well, this person did it this way and that person did it that way. Well, maybe God didn't call him to do it that way. Maybe God called him to do it a different way. When we read the writers of the New Testament and even the Old Testament, they weren't all the same. I mean, just look at Peter and Paul, two of the greatest apostles ever. They were nothing alike. And they had two different leadership styles. But God used them and the people followed him. One commentary says this: it's important to remember the past. We should appreciate the good and learn from the bad. But in the walk of faith, you can't live on nostalgia. You can't live with your eyes on the rearview mirror of your life. You've got to face forward. We got to stop looking in the mirror, what the church was, and we need to look and see, what can the church be? Who can we be? Who can we become? Today, we must look to what God has planned for us moving forward. Our past has prepared us for where we are now and what He wants us to do in the future. Everything that you and I have been through has been to prepare us. When I look back at my life and I see how deciding to take JROTC in high school helped me learn how to stand in front of people and talk. How becoming a manager at McDonald's helped me to meet new people and greet new people. And how, when I witnessed a friend in a small town in Union, South Carolina, small town, not Spartanburg, not Greenville, not Charleston, at a family park, I watched a friend shot and killed in front of my eyes. I thought, it could never happen here. It could never happen to me. I never thought I'd stand before and preach that I've seen somebody murdered. But I have. But here's the interesting thing. It was that event that God opened my heart to minister to the other employees. I became a pastor to the employees. I became someone that they could turn to and talk to and come to for advice. Little did I know that all these things God would use to prepare me to stand before the people of God and preach. Our past prepares us for what God is doing now. The time has come for us to move from the wilderness and move into the promised land. God has done great things in the past, and God is going to do even more great things in the future. God did great things with Moses. There's no doubt about that. But there's no doubt that God did great things with Joshua too. And we need to see that. Next, we see the need to be together. Not only were the people to move forward under Joshua, but they were to move forward together. God tells Joshua, you and all these people, all the people were to go as one into the promised land. Even the 2.5 tribes that Moses had given land to on this side of the Jordan River was to go with the other tribes into the promised land to take it over. So all the people, every Israelite, was to follow Joshua's lead and follow him into the land. They were to unite as one under Joshua's leadership as he followed God's commands. God promised to give Joshua everything that his foot touched. What a promise. What a promise. We need to claim that. God, everywhere our foot touches, we're claiming is yours. We're claiming it for you. As Moses dies, God says Joshua will come and lead the people into the land. Joshua found his strength in God. We are to find our strength in God and move forward in that strength. As the people of God, we should always be moving forward for Him. And if we are to move forward, we are to follow in obedience. So the first point that we see is a new leader. The second point that we see in verses 6 through 8 is obey the instructions.
Verse 6, as we pick up at verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. For this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So God says to Joshua, as you lead these people into the promised land, you and the people need to obey the commands of God. And if you don't obey the commands of God, you won't be successful. If you do obey the commands of God, you will be successful. And so we need to understand that faith requires action. God promised them the land, but they had to go and take it. They had to do something. They had to get up, cross the sea, go into the land, kick out the inhabitants, and take the land. Faith is not waiting around to see what happens. Faith is not sitting in the pews, sitting on the sidelines. Well, I'm just going to sit back and see what God does. We are to serve God where we are with all we are. And when we serve God where we are, man, God will do some great things. You never know what God's going to do. Joshua had to step up and lead the people. The people had to trust God's calling on Joshua's life and follow after him. Genuine faith will always call the people of God to action. If our faith is real, we will live it out in obedience. Because action requires obedience. Even though Moses is gone, the people are still to follow the words that God gave him to give the people. The people of Israel were still to follow the law of Moses. Twice we see it say, observe. Twice. That's for you, cuz. In just a couple verses, we see the word observe the law of Moses. One translation says carefully obey. Another translation says be careful to do. Another translation says be careful to obey. The word means observe, keep, watch over, guard, do. The fact that it's used multiple times shows us how important it is. The people were to obey the commands of God. The use of observing the instructions helps us to see how important it is. But here's something you have to understand. You cannot observe something. You cannot keep something. You cannot do something that you do not know. If you do not know the Word of God, you can't live it out. If you don't know what the Bible says, you can't put it into practice. If you don't know what the Bible says, how can you be the men and women that God has called us to be? I said this a few weeks ago in a small group Bible study. It amazes me how many Christians can tell you the name of every single player on their favorite college football team, but not tell you a single character in the Bible. It's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. To know, we need to spend time in the Word and meditate on it. One study says, the way to be prosperous and successful in God's kingdom is to meditate on His words and do what He says. You see, there were conditions to the success of the people. We see a key here to the promise. Be careful to obey. Once again, we see their need to obey the law of Moses. They were not to turn to the right or the left. This is where we see a problem in our world today. We have compromised the message for popularity, power, and position. We have become more concerned about what others think. We become more concerned about what the world says. We become more concerned about the way it was that we don't hear what God is saying now. That we don't hear the message that God has for us. We have compromised the message for popularity. How many churches and preachers out there do not preach the gospel in its entirety?
It's very rare to hear a preacher that says, if you don't give your heart and your life to Christ and die, you're going to spend eternity in hell. And that's the truth of Scripture. We don't hear that we're supposed to obey God. We don't hear that we're supposed to fear God. There was a time in our world where we didn't have to lock our church doors, but we do now. Why? Because people don't fear God. Why? Because we don't teach people what proper fear of God means. We don't understand it. We have compromised the message. Joshua and the people would see this play out quickly as they entered into the promised land. This is where the passage gets really, really interesting. When the people obeyed, they would be successful. In Joshua chapter 6, we see the massive victory at Jericho, where they marched around the city and the walls fell. We know the story. They march around the city 7 times, and then on the 7th day, they march for 1 time a day. Then on the 7th day, they march around it 7 times. And at the end, they give a shout, and the walls fall down. Jericho was a massive city. Jericho had great walls for protection. But when they followed God, they took it with no problem. When they did not obey, they were not successful. In the next chapter, Joshua chapter 7, the people face a significant defeat at Ai because of one man's sin. The entire people were defeated because one member of the community did not follow the instructions of the leader God put in charge. Do you know that one man's sin can destroy an entire church? Do you know that one man's pride and arrogance can destroy a church? Do you know that one person saying, my way is right and nothing else matters, can destroy the church? One man sins against God by taking something that was supposed to be devoted to destruction, and the entire people was defeated by a smaller army. That's kind of scary. We need to understand that what we do and how we act as members of this church matters. The way you and I act, the things that you and I do, matters. The way we say things, the word that we speak, affects the entire church. Because we are members of the church. We are members of one. That's why the Bible says we are to speak the truth in love. And when we go outside the church and talk bad about the church, it hurts the church. When we go home and talk bad about members of the church to other members of the church, it hurts the church. One man, who was not even the leader, caused the entire nation to face defeat until the sin was dealt with. To keep from turning to the right or the left, they were to meditate on the book day and night. This helps us to see that we need to meditate on the Bible day and night. It is there to help us know how God would have us go, where He would have us to go, and who He would have us to be. The Word also helps us to see that God is always with us. And that's the last thing we're going to see this morning, is I am with you. Verse 9 says, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you everywhere you go. God called Joshua to lead the people, and He told him He would be with him everywhere he went. One commentary says, undergirding Joshua's confidence is the simple fact that he was not alone. Yahweh, all-powerful, leads the way and surrounds him with His presence. God tells Joshua, no one will stand against you. I will be with you. I will never leave you. Talk about beautiful promises given to God. Joshua was a man who would follow God with his whole heart. This is what Joshua says at the end of his life. He says, now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your ancestors, worship beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Joshua knew that God was with him at all times, so he was willing and ready to serve the Lord with all that he was. And three times, God tells Joshua to be strong and courageous. As Joshua is called to lead the people, he is to stand up in front of the people in the power of God and speak on behalf of God, and the people are to follow him. Do you think it's important that God repeated this phrase to Joshua three times? Be strong and courageous. Joshua already knew how these people were. He were there when they tried to usher up Moses' leadership. He was there when they worshipped other idols. He was there when the calf was made. He was there when they went into when they spied out the land and brought back reports. He needed to be encouraged. He needed to be reminded that God was with him. And God tells him, don't be afraid or discouraged. Why? Because God was going to go with him wherever he went. There is nowhere that we can go that God is not. He is with us at all times and in all places. Last week we saw that God was with us in the wilderness. And this time we see God is with us to accomplish his plans to take us into the promised land. He planned for Joshua to bring the people into the promised land. He would be the one to see that plan through. We are to put our hope in God. We are to meditate on his word. We are to surrender our lives to be used by him however he sees fit. We are to be strong and courageous, trusting his calling on our lives. We are to be the leaders God has called us to be, knowing that he is with us each and every step of the way. And here's something else that's really cool about Joshua. The name Joshua is the Hebrew name for Jesus. Joshua would bring the people into the promised land. Jesus is the one that brings us into our promised land. Do you know Jesus today? Have you given your heart and your life to Jesus? Have you accepted the blood sacrifice of Jesus on the cross for your sins? Have you said, Lord, I need you? If God has called a leader, and the leader is seeking to follow after the Lord, then we are to follow that leader, period. I'm sure that the people thought Joshua was crazy when he told them to walk around the city. All right, guys, here's what we're going to do. I want you to walk around the city every day for 7 days. Okay. Now, on the seventh day, I want you to walk around it 7 times, and at the end of the 7th time, I want you to shout. People probably thought he was crazy, but they followed him regardless because they trusted the calling of God on their lives. I'm going to ask a hard question that's not just for this church. This is a question that I want to ask for churches all over the world. Why is it so hard for you guys to trust your pastors? Why is it so hard to trust people that God has called to lead? Why is it more easy to talk bad about them and try to bring them down and try to hurt them and try to fire them and get rid of them? How many churches have a history of getting rid of pastors because they didn't get their way? How many churches have gotten rid of pastor just because the pastor preached something biblical but the people didn't like it? How many churches have gotten rid of pastors because the pastor didn't do what they wanted and they think they're the ones that hired him? I don't get it. And this is something I've struggled with since I became a pastor. If God called me to lead and has put his spirit upon me to do so, then why do I have to fight for every idea that I feel God gives me?
If God has called us to be a leader, and that leader is seeking to follow after the Lord,
We are to follow that leader. I am sure the people thought Joshua was crazy, but they did what he said. Then we have the one man who did not follow the leader, leading to the entire people being defeated. This again reminds us that our attitudes and actions matter. One person can divide an entire church. How many churches have been divided because of one person's hard heart and sin? How many churches have been divided because one person didn't get their way? God calls us to follow after Him. He gives us His word to keep us on the right path, and He goes with us each step of the way. What is God saying to you today? Where is God calling you to serve Him? Where do you need to obey His instructions? Where do you need to be reminded that He is with you? May we be a church that moves out of the wilderness and into the promised land, seeking to be the church that God has called us to be. Lord, we thank You for this passage. We thank You for the life of Joshua and how he led the people. Lord, I know that as leader, I don't always get it right. But when I don't get it right, Lord, You hold me accountable, not the people. You punish me, not the people. And that's the way it should be. Lord, it is my duty as pastor to seek Your Holy Spirit. It is my duty to seek what You are saying, to seek to follow after You, to seek to trust Your calling on my life, and to stand up and be strong and courageous. The time for me being constantly second-guessing myself is over. The time for me being wishy-washy and trying to please everybody is over. The time has come for me to be strong and courageous in the Lord. The time has come for me to hear Your Holy Spirit and follow after You. Lord, I know that the enemy tried so hard this week to get me where I was not able to stand and preach this passage today. Lord, you had this passage prepared for today over 6 months ago. And so this message is not directed at anyone in particular. It is just what God chose to have us talk about this morning by the power of His Spirit. Lord, it's a message that I needed to hear because often I'm not strong and courageous. Often I do second guess myself. Often I do listen to the people over listening to You. And I ask that You would forgive me for that. I pray that You would help me to hear Your Spirit, to heed Your Spirit, and to lead Your people. Lord, they're Your people, not mine. This is Your church, not ours. You have called each and every one of us to serve at this church, and we are called to serve following Your leadership and Your lordship. Help me to lead based on that. And Lord, if there's someone here today that doesn't know You, I pray that they would hear the truth that Jesus is the only way to heaven and that they would give their heart and their life to Him. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen.